Didn't they exhaust anybody?
Today I have a little sniffle and a bit of runny nose as well.
So, how would you give them to God bless Lord Shah? How would you give them? Sneeze, Jenna, tell God bless Lord Shah.
So, if I sneeze, you have to say, God bless you.
Again, the Nalanda traditions in love there, that Sanskrit tradition Nala has a done do the Mongolia and Nane has a do and shishing do the do to yare.
What I refer to as the Nalanda tradition, which is essentially the Sanskrit Indian Buddhist tradition. There are many scriptures that are part of that tradition, such as sutras and tantras and so on. And among these various classes of scriptures, the most important category are the Perfection of Wisdom sutras.
And
the Perfection of Wisdom scriptures have as the explicit subject matter the teachings of emptiness, and as the hidden. So of these two key subject matters of the Perfection of Wisdom scriptures, the explicit subject matter of emptiness and the implicit subject matter of the stages of the path and the realizations, it is Nagarjuna's writing that deal primarily and extensively with the first subject matter, the explicit subject matter of emptiness. And it is the works of Maitreya, whether we are to take Maitreya as a human being or whether a Maitreya in the form of a celestial being, whatever it may be the case, but it is the writings of Maitreya that primarily emphasizes the exposition of the concealed or the hidden subject matter of the stages of the path and realizations. And particularly his work entitled "Clear Ornament of Clear Realizations," Abhisamaya Alamkara.
Chazaga, shum diye tene, ane tambashi saati, chee chuma chee tuya chita, hawar kanan devu, adamondu chaya ke, khasan la ke chua, dungi chuma chee shiva chal me sense tuya ke. Debu Shastwa, Dow didn't do to do the Kuchish Mishaja. Any morning you go, long just over go, do you go? Any issue with the ocean issue with children's service with Zane, Cushions of children's service, Cushina Shady. That the Cushin to Tan, any such Tane to Tan Shady Hari. Tadun Cushin to Tan, she's how Jiggy Ganya, any Chibayina has a son of Lamine. That he under.
So it is on the basis, primarily on the basis of Nagarjuna's works and his key work, Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, Mula Madhyamaka Karika, and Maitreya's Ornament of Clear Realizations, Abhisama Alamkara. It is on the basis of a study and understanding and contemplation on these two principal texts that one can develop a very deeper understanding of the teachings of the Four Noble Truths, and particularly the teachings of the Four Noble Truths in relation to the two truths which together constitute the Buddhist understanding of the basic nature of reality, and particularly with the relation to the fruits, which is as we discussed yesterday, where in the Buddha's sermon he talked about how sufferings must be recognized, but in fact there is no sufferings to be recognized. Origins must be eliminated, but in fact there are no origins to be eliminated, and so on, which refers to the actual fruit of the path. And here in Maitreya's Abhisamaya Alankara, Ornament of Clear Realization, when he talks about the fruit of the Mahayana path, he talks about what he calls the three great objectives of the spiritual aspirant, and these he refers to as the great mind, the great abandonment or elimination, and great realization. And when describing in greater detail what these three great objectives are, this is explained in the 8th chapter of Ornament of Clear Realizations, where he explains the entire spectrum of the resultant state of the path in terms of the teachings on the four kayas, the four Buddha bodies, the natural Buddha body, Buddha body of perfect resource, Sambhogakaya, and wisdom, truth body of the Buddha, and emanation body, perfect emanation body. So it is in terms of embodiment of these four kayas, the attainment of the resultant state is explained. And not only that, but also Maitreya correlates the attainment of these four kayas with the teachings on the 10 bodhisattva levels, 10 levels of the bodhisattva. So when you reflect deeply upon the description and explanation of the four Buddha bodies, and particularly the levels of the path that lead to the attainment of that embodiment of the Buddha bodies, then you will find that it is in the Vajrayana teaching, particularly in the highest yoga tantra teaching on union, where we really find a much clearer explanation of the understanding of the kayas, understanding of the Buddha bodies. So when you combine cultivate your understanding of the path and their results on the basis of comparing these key texts and the Vajrayana perspective, you will then come to the realization, yes, I can see a pattern, I can see the actual projected path.
Oh yeah. So that push with the Kushi Kriyagi, that do the Chaju Sensei, the Chaju Sensei, Satin Yindu, Sore Lambda, Dasher Lamsin, Nishin, Tashini, Din Lam Dini, Tashi, Lamni, Talatene, and Devukalia, Bangotu, Tobotu Sadi, Sosu Tore and Erba, the Roundin Chukuse, Bangotu, Tobotu, Yeting, Dihane. Gravity, the Yusimji Chiricha, Shandun Dominion, Namji to Way Dizane, Namji Tabe, Gurria, Shandun Bemit Hundu, that Dutuji, Guyari, Shandun, Tires Dutu, Guyari, that day, so Sumachilitan in Guyari, Sumachilitan in Yola, the Kurji Nanguya, the Indu, Shandun Sugu Shep, Shandun Sugule, ya, Nasitara, Niche, Longes of Buddha, Durukus, Niche. Now, those things are the debut of 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 the debut of
These two correspond to the two key aspects of the path, the method aspect of the path and the wisdom aspect of the path. Dharmakaya corresponds to the wisdom aspect of the path, and Rupakaya, the form body, corresponds to the method aspect of the path. And also in terms of their content of these actual paths, the skillful means or the form, method aspect of the path relate to the world of diversity, the world of differentiation and multiplicity, whereas the wisdom aspect of the path relates to the world of unity, where diversity is brought into a single unity of ultimate nature of reality. And this is because in reality there are two levels of truth: the conventional level of truth and the ultimate level of reality. So this is how there is a correspondence between the basic nature of reality and the path that is cultivated on the basis of the truth, and then the final attainment, the result, which is the outcome of that path. So there is a correspondence or correlation between the basis, the path, and the result. Therefore, we find in Chandrakirti's guide to the supplement to the middle way, entering the middle way, where he compares the union of the path of wisdom and method, which correlates to the two truths, the truth of conventional truth and the ultimate truth. He compares these to the two wings of a bird, an eagle or a bird, that would cruise across the space of reality and then lead to the attainment of full omniscience of the Buddha.
Ji thanda di di kong de sung do a chetar lo tu se yin na wa se shen ne lo tu di ene asu lo tuge ta lo tu ge we se ki ene numbat pa sang sa lo tu se yin na wa se shen rang de na lo tu ge na wa se ne ta kari chung do asu na Rangan, Nāwa 뭐 떼내 두고 시작이 안 돼서 떼내 두래 탄예기 때 탄예가 그래서 탄예도 진전대로 또 똑같이 되는 뜨기 빼내 가지고 우리 그게 싹콩의 콩도 그렇게 됐어 또 탄예 때문에 또 먹었네 다시 죽을 때 大红果，那的铁矿呢也到过，三元蓝就是到到过垃圾之间。大红果我到的三天一米的，绕个没法了，影响第二件事。但东元的早啊，大都是不的，西面不这个的，通这里山呢，咱个老是通，两是两这里山呢，对，深圳县大红怎么了？那土豆的地了呗，生个顶了呗，没那么春节劳力啊。那我那边南京的老爹唐多嘛，南京这边的嘞，然后这边这边经济唐多嘛，那别的吧，第一点，他，农民们就那样，农民们就心中，农民就多你不得了，再考察说说呗，这他说他们都认的呗，娘那个多了，再差的个，在这里就啥呢？农民们就那样。农业的丢了，他就是现在那个对着的，全部生产了呀。但你是接受了？农业的哪里有那样？农业的谁在买呢？那看到什么什么的家庭啊？面对呗，农业的这种人不就的？听，他说这个科技的干的特别有限度，他啊，农业的向往去，你搞到这东西了，那你谁你家就多了？用说了，这个例子上呢，大同国宝多的三等一米，多个没法了，影响也不行。今天这个到大国例子上呢，台风地势兄弟三件三件零能力，好啥？没地方了，我也怕不起吧？意思，那是没得事。今天这个的十点一米，啊，大国天不简单，电力用的上呢，啊，国宝国宝阳台不发了一样的，桥头给进通的这个样的，还是就单起的，真的差一点上呢，哎呢？또 이 무슨 또 하더니 몸에 치고 빵대 다져봐 주던데 속 차 야다 좀 로더 쓰기 뭐 있어야 되죠
So earlier I forgot one more point So His Holiness was saying that this is the pattern of the understanding of the path and the basic nature of reality and how they correlate to the attainment of the final result of the state of Buddhahood that we find presented in the key classics of the Sanskrit Buddhist tradition. So to continue with Chandrakirti's words, Chandrakirti, just before when he talks about the union of the two truths and the understanding, the union of the method and the wisdom aspect of the path leading to the attainment of the union of two with the body, earlier Chandrakirti talks about how through the light rays of the wisdom of emptiness, one will be able to, through the light rays of the wisdom of emptiness, one will be able to remove all the defilements, and also one will be able to perceive the unity of the or oneness of the ultimate nature of reality of all phenomena, and he says that at that point, when you have a direct experience of emptiness, you get, and when there is the union of that realization with the method aspect of the path, then one attains.
Now time for sleep.
Then you will be able to have an understanding of the nature of reality where so far as the ultimate nature of reality is concerned, you feel as if you are able to see the ultimate nature of reality of all phenomena as if you have something in the very palm of your hands. And so what we find here is that when the wisdom of realizing emptiness has reached its kind of highest level, at that point there is a kind of a convergence of the realization of the ultimate nature of all phenomena, as if all the various tastes have merged into a single taste. So in that state, the world of diversity, the world of differentiation, the world of multiplicity, each of these on the conventional level, you know, retain their own identity, their own characteristics, their own causal relationships and so on. All of, on the level of conventional reality, you know, there is this world of diversity where each and every phenomena has its own characteristics, has its own causal relations, has its own identity and so on. But at the level of the direct realization of emptiness, all of these merge into a single taste. All of these merged into a single unity. And where, you know, Chantakriti refers to this as recognizing the ultimate nature to be unborn. So you will recognize them and these to be dreamlike, illusion-like. On this basis, you will be able to then lead to the cessations and so on. So Chantakriti talks about the impact or imprint of the understanding of emptiness. Then he goes on to say that once you have that kind of deeper level of experience of emptiness, one will then in fact increase, enhance one's experience of compassion. Because when you then view the sentient beings, you will view the sentient beings in a new light, where you are fully aware of the tragic nature of the situation of the sentient beings, who, although what they basically aspire to is happiness and wish to overcome suffering, but they are constantly acting in a contrary way by clinging on to a substantial reality of a self where there is no such self, and they are on the basis of that sense of self, I am, the thought that I am, there is a strong clinging to this individuality and the substantial reality of the self, and grounded upon that, individuals live their life according to the kind of, you know, the dictates of self-cherishment. So by clinging on tightly to the self-grasping and self-cherishment, one then lives a life where there is a total kind of, you know, control of their way of being by these two forces. So when you come to realize that sentient beings live their life according to such mode of being, and then you know that this is totally contrary to the very basic wish that they have, which is to seek happiness and overcome suffering, and that kind of realization will bring an added force to your compassion, because of your realization of emptiness, you have come to the knowledge that there is a way out, there is a possibility of freedom. Because otherwise, generally, if it is a question of seeing sentient beings suffer, but if you do not know that there is a possibility of a freedom or an end to that suffering, then the only response you will feel is a sort of a pity, you know, and just recognize the tragedy. But if your compassion is accompanied by the knowledge that there is a possibility of freedom, then of course this will bring an added dimension of force to your compassion. So Chantakriti explains how, in the light of a direct realization of emptiness, one's compassion for other sentient beings will increase exponentially, and through this way, the method aspect of the path and wisdom aspect of the path will be united.
So what we come
to understand is that in this system of practice, the key really is the cultivation of the awakening mind, bodhicitta, the mind that aspires to attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all beings.
Which is the
key subject matter of Shantideva's text.
Kevin, 신의 룰은 내가 상동의 유문 나무를 좀 시에 통을 신의 자자 대안은 지대 차범의 동영계 룹시에 다 되기 다 유문 뽕에 뭐지 뭐 디시를 지고 얼마 더 터글 지가 말해.
So the actual the antidote to eliminating afflictions is really not the method aspect of the path, it is the wisdom aspect of the path. For example, Dharmakirti states in his Pramanavartika, Exposition of Valid Cognition, because thoughts such as emotions such as loving kindness and compassion, because they are not diametrically opposed to the ignorance, therefore they are not the eradicating antidotes. For example, in Chandrakirti's clear words, Prashnapada, which is a commentary on Nagarjuna's fundamental wisdom of the middle way, Chandrakirti makes distinction between the power of different kinds of antidotes. For example, he lists the antidotes of hatred, specific antidotes of hatred, attachment, and pride or arrogance, and jealousy. And each of these different emotions, afflictive emotions, have their corresponding specific antidotes. So, for example, in the case of hatred and hostility, the antidote is loving kindness, the cultivation of loving kindness with relation to desire or attachment and lust. It's the meditation on the impurity of the body and so on. So these are specific antidotes that are presented with relation to specific afflictions. So Chandrakirti says that if you examine these kind of specific antidotes corresponding to specific afflictions, although these are, first of all, they are in some sense antidotes that would decrease the intensity of these afflictions. So in a sense, they are temporary suppressing antidotes. And secondly, they, antidote that is effective with relation to one affliction. Say, for example, loving kindness is effective against hatred and anger, but that practice of loving kindness is not effective against attachment and lust and so on. And in some cases, the loving kindness practice can be seen as supporting attachment. Similarly, in the case of meditation on the impurity of the body, that is a specific antidote against attachment and lust, but that practice cannot be an effective antidote against hostility and hatred, because in some cases, in fact, a meditation on impurity of body can provide a basis for more hostility and anger and so on, frustrations and so on. So, whereas the antidote against delusion, ignorance, which is the wisdom of emptiness, this is not only an antidote that is specific, antidote that brings about the decrease in the intensity of delusion, but also it is an antidote that can root out the delusion. And furthermore, and because all afflictions are rooted ultimately in ignorance and distorted view of reality, therefore the antidote against ignorance and delusion can also help root out all the other afflictions which are based upon them. So Chantikirti makes these distinctions between the specific types of antidotes. So then it is the wisdom realizing emptiness that is the actual antidote against the afflictions and particularly the delusion. Then the question is simple knowledge of emptiness adequate? Is simply having an insight, a cognition of emptiness is adequate? And this is not the case. What is required is a direct realization of emptiness. So it is the direct realization of emptiness that really directly counteracts the afflictions and then begins the process of eradicating them, rooting them out, beginning with the intellectually acquired afflictions and then so on. Therefore, it is not simply, because when we speak of understanding of emptiness or realization of emptiness, there can be different levels. An understanding derived through learning is the first stage of understanding, then understanding derived through reflection, which is the second stage, and understanding derived through meditation or meditative practice. So therefore, this direct realization of emptiness must be preceded by attainment of penetrative insight or vipassana focused upon emptiness. Therefore, in the text here, it says that the penetrative insight joined with karma abiding utterly eradicates afflicted states. Knowing this, first search for karma abiding, found by those who joyfully renounce the world. So, generally speaking, the suggestion is not that in order to attain realization of emptiness, you need shamatha or karma abiding, but in order to attain penetrative insight focused on emptiness, vipassana focused on emptiness, then for that purpose you need a shamatha that is focused on emptiness, the karma abiding that is focused on emptiness first.
当然这行列当中按照诵的这个行列当中这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这个诵的这
calm abiding, shamatha, and penetrative insight, vipassana, that we find here is that which is common to the sutra, a professional vehicle, and the Vajrayana, the tantric vehicle. However, in the context of highest yoga tantra, there is a unique approach. But what we are concerned here is the common approach. And the difference between the two arises because the level of consciousness that is employed, whether the mind that is being employed is on the level of grosser level, or whether the mind that is being employed in the cultivation is a subtle state of consciousness, that's where the differences arise.
So,
Since penetrative insight is defined as a state of mind where the individual has attained physical and mental pliancy that is derived through the force of analysis. Therefore, the attainment of penetrative insight, vipassana, must be preceded by attainment of shamatha, calm abiding. Because in calm abiding, the mental and physical pliancy that is attained is drawn forth by mental absorption, meditative absorption. And generally speaking, the physical and the mental pliancy attained through the force of mental absorption is easier than through an analytic process. Therefore, the attainment of shamatha, karma abiding, must proceed, and on the basis of karma abiding, one will then be able to attain physical and mental pliancy drawn forth through the force of analysis. So generally speaking, as far as the techniques and methods for cultivating karma abiding and penetrative insights are concerned, this is something that is a common currency, common to both Buddhist and non-Buddhist spiritual traditions in India. For example, in Langa Avatara Sutra, Descent into Langa Sutra, and there are references to the various types of vehicles, yanas. The Langa Avatara Sutra speaks of the human and the celestial beings' vehicles. It speaks about the vehicles of the Brahma. It speaks of the vehicles of the disciples, the Shravakas, the self-enlightened beings, and the Bodhisattva vehicles. So on the level of the first vehicle, which is the human and the godly vehicles or celestial beings' vehicles, the key framework of spiritual practice is the ethical discipline of avoidance from 10 negative actions. But in the cultivation of faith as the basis of spiritual practice, and in the what is referred to as the Brahma, vehicles of the Brahma, and we also find discussions of shamatha, karma abiding, practices of karma abiding and vipassana, the penetrative insight, where the penetrative insight involves comparative analysis of the characteristics of desire realm and the higher realms of existence. And on that basis, one cultivates penetrative insight. So what this suggests is the actual practice and the methods of cultivating shamatha, the karma abiding, and vipassana, the penetrative insights are concerned, these are common to both Buddhist and non-Buddhist spiritual traditions in India. And so, and therefore, we can speak of worldly penetrative insight and trans-worldly penetrative insight. So what we are concerned with here is the trans-worldly penetrative insight or vipassana.
Oh yeah. 但是呢, 主要了呀, 哎呢, 当然的, 进入脑络了呀, 把心里读书搞了, 但是他们的人在外面呢你使用相当的时候难以前但是他们就提起一个公认的拿到新的主张的时候下来啊地铁出公认的这个刚才说的进入大家去选呢要不是多啊这个新的主张的家去选这个月但是他们现在新的主张但是都有些为呢但是其他你不得每个月开发这个马的 东宁那边新的月份的新的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的月份的 lote teng or omje kaso da bege che teng or kebe kone ome achik mida ba kom tame kom sdamna de komje loko mida ba nsi yimbere tame ba nsi yimbere ta ande de kom sa de kare sdamna lote mida ba da tame ba de zindang yuri che mida ba re sa ba tame ba yin sa ba lote zindang yuri che ne ta komya shege yare That Delia, Didi Yawa Chan, Didi and Shad, casual weapon, Yulia, J. Miyu Saro, J. Ene, Casual Pen, Sun Yu Saro, Zendang Yu Saro, Ene, Shin Yu Saro, Yu Nama Mushita, Shedwa, Shedwa Sha.
So, in the Shantideva's text itself, although this is a chapter on meditative concentration, but he does not present the actual practices of cultivating shamatha, calm abiding, so that the actual practice itself of shamatha is not found. Therefore, normally when I present teachings on this particular chapter, I supplement it from other sources, primarily Kamala Shila's Bhavana Krama, stages of meditation, where there are very explicit presentation of the stages of the practice of cultivating calm abiding. So if so to explain this very briefly, generally when we speak of calm abiding and penetrative insight, these two practices are not differentiated on the basis of their object of meditation, because just as one can have calm abiding focused upon emptiness, so can there be penetrative insight focused on emptiness, just as there can be calm abiding focused on a conventional reality object. Similarly, there can be penetrative insight focused upon a conventional reality. So what differentiates between these two primary practices is the way in which one engages with the object of meditation. In the calm abiding practice, the manner in which the mind engages with the object is not by means of analysis, but rather a means of settling the mind and single-pointedness of the focus, and maintaining one's mind with a stillness on the chosen object of meditation. So the approach is that of a stilling the mind or absorption onto a chosen object, whereas in penetrative insight, the approach is that of an application of the discriminative awareness. So there is an element of critical analysis that is involved. So these two practices are differentiated by the manner in which the mind engages with the object. So, and therefore, and generally when we speak of meditative practice, we need to distinguish between two forms of meditation. You have the more placement, single-pointed, absorptive type of meditation, where the single-pointedness and the stillness of the mind is the key. And then you can have analytic meditation, where the analysis and the discrimination is a key element. So there are two primary forms of meditation. And similarly, we need to be able to differentiate between different types of meditation. For example, when we say meditate on love or meditate on compassion, here what we are trying to do is to cultivate our mind, where we don't take love and compassion as an object of meditation, but rather we are trying to cultivate our mind into the nature of these emotions, so that we are trying to cultivate these emotions within ourselves. In contrast, when we speak of meditation on impermanence or meditation on no self, here the meditation is done in the form of taking something as an object. So here it's taking impermanence as an object of your meditation and reflecting upon it. So therefore, when we speak about meditation, we need to have a certain degree of discernment of the different types of meditation. And also when we speak of the object of meditation or object of mind, and there are again different aspects of the object. You can have an appearing object, the mind that perceives what is perceived. You can have an object of apprehension, what is cognized and understood. When we speak of the object of mind, it's not a simple kind of unidimensional thing. You know, one needs to have this discernment of the different dimensions of the object. Similarly, you can also have a meditation in the form of aspiration, a prayer, where you aspire meditation. You can also have a meditation where the primary mode is that of a kind of a sense of conviction. Similarly, you can also
conviction
have
conviction.
So you have the first type, one type of meditation where there is the object of meditation becomes an object of aspiration. So you meditate upon that in the form of aspiring to attain that state or a quality. Another type of meditation is in the form of an imagination, although we do not possess these states right now, but you meditate upon it as if we do, so for specific purpose. For example, as a remedy against lust, meditators cultivate the vision of the entire space being filled with skeletons. So there you imagine as if skeletons are everywhere. Similarly, you can also have a meditation where there are you simulate qualities of the Buddha. So although you do not possess them, but you simulate these qualities, and that is another form of meditation. So there are different types of meditation. So when we use the term meditation, we should not get the impression it's just a matter of simply closing your eyes and emptying your thoughts. In fact, if there's a meditation, then the rabbits and the pigeons, they are very good at it. So that is in fact not a meditation in the strict sense, it's more of a relaxation. In fact, when you are in meditation, what you are trying to do is to maintain a very alert and clear state of mind. So certainly relaxation is not the case here.
우겐 고 르르 지 여러다 자장가 양고 따즈 심 디간 내야데 라라 패지여서래 저들이 인도산에 우종 땅장 상단디 남도 땅면에 차등에 뒤도 편도였어요 저장은 아주 다가서 그냥 릴렉스 자 찍을 패지도 탑시하래 지나가 상하다 우종 땅장 상단 되게 배심 심시 투대도나 아니 내가 심 투대로 쏴서 장상 땅야 된다래야 아니 우종 땅장 상단 제 아, 도스지이나 그때 남인 남도 있냐 몰려 우 그래서 다 우종이야 미세야 대편도도와
So in the Buddha's own scriptures, we find discussions of various types of objects, possible objects for meditation on calm abiding. For example, he talks about the possibility of using anything for as a focus of one's meditation. He calls that the pervasive object because you can find the object anywhere and everywhere. And then he then talks about what is called object that is that pertains to the purification of one's own experience habits. And here what he is talking about is the idea that due to greater or lesser habituation in the past life and also in this life to various types of afflictions and mental and emotional states, some people may have a greater propensity towards attachment, some a greater propensity towards anger and hostility, some towards jealousy, and some towards kind of a proliferation of ideas and thoughts. It's just too much conceptuality. So with relation to these habitual tendencies and individual kind of personality types, Buddha recommends different types of object of meditation for calm abiding. For example, those who have a greater propensity towards anger and hostility, the meditation on loving kindness, taking loving kindness as the focus of calming the mind is more effective. And those who have greater propensity towards lust and attachment and desire, then meditation on the impurity and imperfections of the human body is thought to be more effective. Those who have greater propensity towards pride and conceit, then meditation on the enumerations of the various classifications of Abhidharma are recommended as an antidote against pride and conceit. And of course, in today's world, you can use diversity of the modern subjects and reflect upon them as an antidote against pride and conceit. For example, in my own case, if I have any inkling of a arising of pride or conceit, I just have to think about mathematics. And then also with relation to these objects, Buddha refers to them as objects pertaining to the purification of afflictions. However, the meditation on breathing is thought to be the most effective method for those who are prone towards having proliferation of thoughts, emotions and concepts and so on, where there is too much internal kind of thought processes going on that, you know, constantly distract us. So for that, meditation on breathing, using respiration, breathing as the object of meditation is said to be the most effective. And here, Asanga's text, Shravaga Bhumi, Levels of the Disciple, has one of the most extensive explanation of this practice, and where he explains how you can do this through different ways. For example, one of the practices he recommends is to count your breath. So you count inhalation as one and exhalation as one, and then you count them up to 10 or up to 15, and then you repeat the counting again. Or another method would be to count so you count up to 10 and then you count from backwards from 10 to 1, And another method is to treat both the cycle of inhalation and exhalation as one round, and then count from 1 to 10, and then from backwards from 10 to 1, and then repeat that process. And one of the advantages of breathing meditation is because unlike other meditation, in breathing meditation you are not taking any specific object as a content of your thought with a certain image in your mind. Rather, you are focusing your mind upon a bodily activity that you very naturally and normally do. And because of this combination of a natural rhythm of the body that occurs naturally, and you're focusing your mind on that, it has a natural consequence of gradually relaxing your mind preventing your distraction to all sorts of proliferation of thoughts and concepts and ideas and emotions and so on. So in some sense, the breathing meditation can also lead to a degree of relaxation as well, because your mind is then prevented from being swept away by all kind of plethora of thoughts and distractive thoughts and so on. One can also cultivate tranquil abiding or calm abiding, focused on taking one's own mind as the object. And here, first of all, one needs to find a way of bringing to an end the process of following after our sensory experiences. So one needs to reduce the level of activity of the sensory experiences, and then, having done that, within the mental world, to find a way of So on the mental level, one needs to find a way of preventing our thoughts and mind, being distracted by past memories, recollections of past experience, and so on, and also anticipations of future events. So one needs to find a way of preventing one's mind being kind of directed by or distracted by past experiences, past memories, and so on, or anticipations, thoughts that are projecting into the future. So once you have therefore kind of brought to an end the activity of the senses, brought to an end distraction towards past memories and recollections and future, kind of assumptions, hopes and fears and so on, then you will get to a point where you will simply be experiencing a state of non-conceptuality, a state of non-distraction and non-conceptuality. And as you become familiar with that experience, then you might experience a sense of absence. And so at that time, you're beginning to get an experiential sense of what characterizes the essential nature of experience itself. Generally, when we talk about consciousness, we are all aware of the conscious experiences that we possess, and consciousness is manifest to us. But generally, our consciousness takes the form of whatever objects it is focused on, whether it is external objects of the sensory field, or whether it is internal experiences of one kind or another. So generally, although we experience consciousness, but it always is experienced in the form of the content that the consciousness has. So what is being cultivated here is the experience of consciousness itself, free of that kind of coloring of external or internal experiences. And when you have that degree of experiences, then you take that as the focus of your mind, and then cultivate like a single pointedness and the stillness of your mind on that. And this is a meditation or calm abiding on the mind. Similarly, one can cultivate calm abiding focused on emptiness. So again here, first one needs to cultivate the understanding of emptiness, which would culminate in the realization that all phenomena are devoid of intrinsic reality. So once you have gained that realization of this mere absence of the intrinsic existence of everything, that mere absence you take as an object, and while your ascertainment of that absence is poignant, and has a vitality, you take that as the that content of that understanding as the object, and then cultivate a single pointedness and calm abiding. So this is a calm abiding focused on emptiness. So there are different practices, but the most easy practice of calm abiding is to simply choose a single object. Such as in the case of Buddhist practitioners, you can choose the Buddha Rupa, the statue of the Buddha, image of the Buddha, as your object of meditation. And for Christian practitioners, you can take either the cross or Mary, Virgin Mary, or a symbol that has a deep spiritual significance to you. You take that image as the focus of your meditation and cultivate the stillness of your mind, maintaining full focus and total stillness, and focus fused with that object. And this is, in a sense, in some ways, probably the most easiest form of cultivating calm abiding.
When we 애니 챔베 쓴다고 그래. 믿은 맞으시네. 다 챔베 믿은지 제소나 애니 챔베 냠도요. 다 챔베 믿은 셔. 다들 마셔지 챔베 쓴다고 도와. 다 델이야 애니 예 지 챔베 다 챔베 야우스 바스 가소래. 신대야지 이 중나 잡아토리 내야지 중나 아니 시신 가지다 이거 영향이 시신 영향이 두 도로 주기 잡아도 되셔. 자, 다 잡배 믿긴 심제 되니 다 대관이야 심 다 샤지도 전에 심 내지도 전에 심디 미국 대관라 내버지 구르라 내버도도 마세베 미국 대관 로디베 하장급에 충동이 되겠지 로지고요 마도 미든 마셔와 쌈중은 심파직 녀대 대회인에 지금 집을 쌈나 그 논리입니다. 다다 가다 미든 마셔를 시다. 미든 셀 침부를 지다. 가다 사고를 로디를 침부 시세제. 그다 가다 왜 지가서 로 중동에 대한 리 개심사입니다. 자, 다 대례야 바로 중요한데 침워도 그런 얘기. 就做就超越的 근데 친구들이 시신이 리버체 친구 주변 내거로 시신이 리버체 봐서도 마세베 거로야 검찰 총나 친구 중뭐 중 친구 뭐 중고네 다 친구 영화 삼배 지 년가로 또 돼야지 시신들이 총나 시신 짱구 쳐야 돼 아 근데 왜다 시신 그거네 친구니 리버체 다 친구니 리니 다 년분도 세봐서야 돼 가르쳐서나 아니 그봐, 근데 인도산에 다 심팡 토탈의 경인 말이야. 근데 인도 심도 팡 맞다. 아, 다 칭호용야지 심팡 맞잖아. 심 뒤잖아. 아니 팡 맞잡이 경인 말이야. 그래야 심도스 야 칭호 세야가 심도스 팡 토다. 어디 도시니니 칭구기냐 못한다. 근데 말이야.
So in the actual practice of karma abiding, several factors are crucial. One of which is the ability to direct your mind on the chosen object of meditation. So here what is required is ability to focus upon a chosen object. In addition, one needs a faculty of mindfulness that would ensure that your focus is not lost. So the mindfulness is the factor that enables you to continually maintain that focus on the object. So it's this ability to continue to retain your single-pointedness. So it's the function of mindfulness that will enable one to do that. So, and when you have mindfulness, then the other factor, which is discerning awareness, sometimes translated as introspective awareness, this will naturally arise. So what you require is not only an ability to focus your attention, but also an ability to sustain that attention through the application of mindfulness. And in addition, also you need discerning awareness to ensure that the mindfulness of the object, attention is not lost, because attention because the obstacles to the sustained attention can be mental scattering of the mind in general, and particularly mental excitation. And mental excitation is actually a derivative of attachment. So generally, when qualities arise and distract your mind, then mental excitation arises. And similarly, mental laxity is another obstacle. And this arises when the level of your mind is, the state of your mind is too low. And it is the role of discerning awareness to be vigilant and to judge whether mental thinking or mental laxity is arising, or whether mental excitation is arising. And particularly with relation to mental laxity, the ability to maintain one's mindfulness alone is not adequate. Sometimes you can have experienced a state where your focus is sustained, but there is a kind of a certain lack of vitality to your experience, that there is no alertness. Although your mind is not distracted, it is focused, but there is no sharpness, there is no alertness. And this is an indication that your mind is beginning to slide into mental laxity. So it's the role of discerning awareness to determine whether or not these two primary obstacles are arising. And a more advanced form of discerning awareness will be such laxity and mental excitation as arises. It will sense, when they're about to arise. So, and when these obstacles do arise, then one needs to apply the appropriate antidotes. So if you determine that a mental excitation has arisen, because excitation arises when your mind is too uplifted, then you need to find a way of bringing the state of your mind to a slightly more subdued level. Similarly, if you find mental laxity occurring, then this is due to the state of your mind being too low, and then in terms of energy. Here, then you need to find a way of uplifting the state of your mind. So it is by determining what kind of obstacles are arising, one needs to apply the appropriate remedies, and through this way, one cultivates calm abiding.
Mm-hmm. 다 대대로 쓰기 아니 신의 미국 정다 차고 총나 엔다 리메르베기 다 섬네 그리고 구실도와 섬 저바 균도 저바 랜드 저바 다 담아 미긴 강 섬샤 이 저바 다 되네 균트야 배수세 das kama kasher de dago kemme chen na pyaji o se ta dine tuzu mana de mi den gar de ya chuk chuk pa mi den gar ne sem ba tro de ya ta zhe de yan su sem su len de zo ya ta dine mi den gar de be ne ya jingu ki kyen jingu ra ba de ge me ne ta jingu cha ya ya ji kyen de ya de ya yan ko ni bu ding 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 ge chen do se ne ta do se shi shi na ba shi shi kan zhe zu xia bin na
啊，你要做啊，对。像老大看到呢，嗯，什么呢？过去呢，没得读书啊，呢，过年没见过嘞。但呢，如果呢，他，明天干了，明不落读书啥呢？他他妈早了到学习，人家明天干了呀，他，被整个给干了不成呢，他听课时呢，他听个听完这个音，上边他妈早学习，人家呢明天干读书啊，这是你教什么的？ 那今天早上我就被一起送了，先给学过一点。但明天刚读书，难下了，我整个见了宝贝，你下个出去抢完事了，还是出去写字。但明天过来刚读，等下去。但等的是什么呢？哎，今天准备个律师信章，他电话接的呀的。他妈什么信章？今天律师信章，今天律师信章电话接，你什么信章电话接？那里没。
So, as you engage in the practice by applying these various factors such as mindfulness, attention, focusing the attention, discerning awareness, and so on, then you will be able to go through a gradual, progressively a more stable states of mind. So in terms of the actual experience of the different stages of the development, in the text, one speaks of 9 stages of mental development, and beginning from simple placement, which is the first level, and then close, then continual placement, and then sequential placement, and so on. So what this indicates is that at the initial stage, the ability to simply maintain one's attention focused on a chosen object is the key objective. Then, as you cultivate this, you will reach a point where you may be able to retain the mind and somehow ensure a degree of continuity, a continuum where your focus is maintained. So this is the continual placement. And then at a later point, you will reach a point where, although in your meditation session, you constantly come in and out, but at the same time, you are able to bring your mind back to the object of meditation, which may last for a few minutes at a time, and then your mind gets distracted, but then you gradually, gently bring it back, and then maintain that focus mindfully for another couple of minutes, and so on. So progressively, your ability to maintain the focus without distraction and without sliding into mental excitation and laxity will increase to a point on the ninth, on the eighth stage. According to the text, you will reach a point where, when you enter the meditation session, initially you will require an effort, a kind of a deliberate effort, and as a result of that effort, once you enter into the meditation, then you will be able to maintain the focus, sustained attention for a long period of time, and eventually, and this experience will culminate to a point where the moment you place your mind to the chosen object of meditation, the mind naturally remains still and focused. So then at that point, your single-pointedness has become effortless. There's a quality of effortlessness. And so at that point, a true attainment of shamatha, kama abiding, is characterized by an ability to focus one's mind on the chosen object undistracted for 1/6 of a day, which is 4 hours in one stretch. And so that kind of single-pointedness of mind, when it is accompanied by pliancy, physical and mental pliancy, and particularly a single-pointedness is derived from a blissful experience generated by this suppleness and the pliancy of mind and body, then at that point one has attained true karma biting shamatha. Some of my colleagues, I don't know whether they are able to maintain their focus for 1/6. Seems that some of them have actually maintained quite a high level of this realization, that where they're able to sustain their focus and attention undistracted for quite a prolonged period of time, and during which they observe that there is naturally an impact upon even the pace of your breathing. There's a kind of a relaxation that occurs naturally, even in your natural rhythm of breathing as well. However, the method of, or the practice of cultivating karma abiding within the context of a deity yoga meditation, it probably is more easy. So in order to successfully cultivate triangular abiding or karma abiding and shamatha, vipassana, the penetrative insight, one needs to accumulate the conditions, the necessary conditions for a successful practice of these. And the key is to find a way of dealing with the obstacles that hamper or that hinder the attainment of these qualities. So particularly those that distract your mind, and also such as mental excitations and so on, and many of which occur primarily with relation to the desirable objects, objects of sensual experiences. Therefore, for such a practitioner, it becomes important to deal with these obstacles And in the text here, we read,
knowing
this, the first search for karma abiding found by those who joyfully renounce the world. So here the indication is that a practitioner of karma abiding must create the conditions which would involve dealing with obstacles such as distractions and excitation, and particularly relation to the objects of sensual desire. So in verse stanza 5, we read, being brief, ephemeral, who fiercely cling to what is also passing, will catch no glimpse of happiness for many thousands of their future lives. Although here the reflection on impermanence is done in the context of dealing with objects of attachment, but this particular stanza is also very helpful. We can apply it many other contexts, particularly for practitioners of bodhicitta, the awakening mind, because normally when our relation to other sentient beings is so influenced and dictated by discriminating emotions of attachment and hostility, so Shantideva's passage, that beings brief and ephemeral, who fiercely cling to what is also passing, can be applied in that context as well. So we can use this reflection, for example, if we find ourselves caught very strongly by discriminating emotions of attachment and hostility to others, then we can do the meditation that, what is the point of me who is ephemeral, impermanent, making such discriminations with regard to beings who are equally ephemeral and impermanent. Similarly, you can apply this in the context of hostility. What is the point of me who is brief and impermanent, be so hostile and angry towards beings who are equally brief and ephemeral? So you can apply this reflection in many practices. Similarly, so here the meaning of impermanence can be understood in a kind of a grosser level of being things coming into being and things coming to cease. Or you can also reflect upon the subtle impermanence of how each of us, oneself and other sentient beings, are impermanent in the sense that we are other-powered. We are under the power of afflictions, ignorance and so on. So one can reflect upon that. One can also use this meditation substitute impermanence with suffering. So beings who are subject to dukkha, just like myself, what is the point of drawing such discriminations against beings who are equally subject to dukkha and suffering? So one can do this meditation in reflection in many other contexts as well. So this particular passage is very powerful.
야 미다 수시 미다다 양다 사고를 세워요. 대니 쓰러 동라도 두부 통화 용민교 마동나는 매간교 이장 냠저 민주라스 통영 몸을 민주에 나시 세베 동원조 다리 친디 서울 외바 샤바 슈가 사해 슈가스케 아유 성기 심지어 나와 차자는 양단이로 군이 집 교회 심지어 집을시 타무란 양의 동원조 달라 선번 것이 그 체제 되면 나와요 따본 매변 자식이 융루 최전 집은조 치다 겨우 냠저는 내버릉 년도 도주 때 깨민 냠을 치잖아 스타디 치바 다 집어서 해야 되려야 나중에 집어 아니 가사 저거지 파벌로 되는 소수기호로 집어 캐벌로 되는 미캐벌로 집에 다녀져야 망구여 그래 다 안듯이 집어디 패지다 집어 소수기호 패지 자나 집어 지당 껴와 Number Jonas never nyandrun do you days. Game in number, Kawa min number, Pagwe Salaya. Any that Kawa min number, Chi Pagwe, that Kasure, Salaya, that Rani, Tundun Yeni, Pagwe Salon draw change in Beina, and Chiba Tempe Chishas. Gigi, Chiba and Shinkarasana. 계시적인 자조라 유승진의 자연조 다른나라 처집에 소수기원고 가지 소수기원사 폐제디 다 로나 통동리 미장 통동리 근데 이번 인도산에 미장 림부 전다지 다 상단에 배제 제외 거둘러 미장 통동 생기디 너무 용한데 그러다 근데 이번 인도산에 가면 내가 처치베스 가면 내 가르쳐서는 푸자 연구를 라는 편야지 능푸 라는 다 대화용야지디 가면 내 스티지샤네 전전대비 가면 내 달라 미자 퉁퉁이잉에 다들 다들 지르다 너가 첨부치 땡에게 집어 소수 끼오 디 아주 너바 시시 띵 과진 시리베스 가면 내가 처치베 소수 끼오 구워가 템블맨은 처치 다양 편은 도구치 자상 안에 만년은 초연년도 좋은데요.
So we now read from stanza 6 onwards, and I'm not going to take the time of explaining word by word and stanza by stanza. So here, Shantideva goes on to explain the methods of dealing with objects of distraction, particularly. Those desirable objects that tend to distract us and become obstacles for cultivating single-pointedness of mind. And so we read, particularly in stanza 9, there's a reference to interaction with what Shantideva refers to as the childish people. And generally the term chipa or the childish, one can speak about childishness in terms of maturity of age, one can speak of childishness in terms of comparison to the Arya noble beings who have attained direct insight into the truth, or childishness in terms of people who are not prudent and in contrast to those who are wise and prudent. So here, the meaning of the term childishness really refers to ordinary people whose perspectives are totally contrary to the Arya beings who have gained insight into the truth. So therefore Shantideva writes, "For if I act like those who are childish, sure it is that I shall fall to lower states. So why keep company with the childish and go with them in ways so far from virtue?" So what Shantideva is suggesting here is that the ordinary beings, the childish, the so-called childish, their perspective is very short-term. They're short-sighted. They're only interested in the short-term happiness and interest. Whereas the noble one, the Arya beings, their perspective is that of a long-term. And what they aspire for is a long-term happiness. So from the point of view of that kind of long-term happiness,
the activity and the behavior and the manner of action behavior of the ordinary beings are really like childish. And therefore, such ordinary beings, then Shantideva goes on to explain their characteristics. One moment friends, the next they are bitter enemies. Even pleasant things arouse their discontent. Worldly people, hard it is to please them. And a beneficial word, and they resent it, while all they do is turn me from the good. And if to what they say I close my ears, their anger burns the cause of lower states.
他的时候的套了差不多酿的人骂了阿姐真的吃吃明年就能控制的能吸吸的全部套死他媳妇他说他媳妇说说给我的这个大概那些给不给媳妇论门吧所以他让了他哈过了呃然后媳妇哪里媳妇你这叫不得这 就帮我叫我做这的，反正俺也差到，但是到你们身边，俺这叫不难做，但你这，嗯，难做都在咱们的山上长我们身边，但不如到这些，到是也这个，这个原来的山里那的，云南山里那的，这个王当的山里那的，到是也这个，呀，对不起，受伤了，吃药的，俺那反正就是在多，但再说了就蛮不切。 哎，今天给准备点了名单，晓得不？就是这的，哎，准备点了嘛，请改进细节，啊，差了差多，所说的年把都差一步多呢，才能担心。哎，所说到差了学生的没了通融起来，确实些，没了外界，哎呢，但这就能弄就说，这里欧洲人家这里啊，人家没得了当，被开发的时候，professor的时候，没得了当，那马来人家得了这个，明年就要控制，哪啥控制都多啊，各办公室在这边呢，在每个是不是现在要么来这边呢，给什么都办，那个吃都吃不了了，这就是呀，在这里印度明年就要控制的，俺家得了这明年就要控制的。
So we're on stanza 12, which reads, jealous of superiors, they vie with equals, haughty towards those below, they strut when praised, say something untoward, they seethe with rage. What good was ever had from childish folk? So here we spoke about these being the characteristics of an ordinary childish person. But even among this category, there will be those who are more childish than others. So in fact, if you think carefully, generally within the society, the poorer section of the community, those who are really poor, they tend to be less prone to these kind of very fluctuating emotions like competitiveness or jealousy and so on. One could perhaps say that they are less prone to this, whereas although the basic overall outlook may be that of a childish person, but in the world, those who tend to be a bit more successful, whether that success comes from on the basis of an education or greater wealth or fame or status and so on, whatever may be the basis, those who are a bit more successful, then as the Tibetans would say, those when the feathers grow on you, then the people generally tend to become more proud, more conceited, and that so that if the basic outlook of that individual is that of the childish, as Shantideva describes, and then he or she, faces, gets these kind of successes in the worldly terms, like fame, wealth, position, and so on, which are generally understood to be favorable conditions for one's own sustenance and survival and so on. But sometimes what happens is these become destructive. And then the individual will act towards those who he or she may see as superior out of jealousy. Towards those who are equal, competitiveness and rivalry arises. And towards those whom you deem to be inferior to you, then there's a sense of haughtiness, sense of pride and conceit towards these arises. And with these kind of emotions, you constantly live your life. So for example, when your pride is based upon your recognition of respect within the community, on the basis of your knowledge, so people call you great scholar or great professors, and so then you start feeling kind of puffed up. When these kind of this is how you react, then even the slightest criticism really, makes you angry, because there's a vulnerability. If people praise you, of course, then it further, enhances your pride. So this is how the childish reacts to situations.
So, 점점 人이 끈지 쪽도 끊어양. 아니 와도 쇼르 죽어 대화는 저서야 돼 뭐냐 이제 때 깨진 물이 미지기야 창조하듯이 미지기 떨어 다시 그래도 뭐 사고를 또 매서 손에 때 깨진 물이야.
So what, if you think along these lines deeply, what Drumtempa has, the great master Drumtempa has said is very true, where he wrote that even though I may be revered by all and placed upon their crowns, may I remain simple and recognize myself as the lowest. And this kind of humility, I think, is very important. Otherwise, there is a real danger of, what the Kadamba masters say, turning the gods into devils or demons. Might actually happen, because generally the various excellent qualities of the human existence are objects of aspiration, whether it is a good birth with the physical and mental faculty resources, having knowledge, and all of these are favorable conditions, and also great height, a big body. So these are favorable conditions. So maybe, but having said that, those who are short, if there is a danger, probably they can fast and run faster.
And easier to hide.
So these are, in general, these are desirable things. These are actually favorable conditions that could help the individual, not only for sustenance, but also for fulfillment of other noble aspirations. For example, with relation to wealth, you could help others, you could share the resources with others, with knowledge, you could help others, and so on. So if these favorable conditions, instead of assisting the individual in furthering one's own personal well-being and happiness, but also in improving one's spiritual qualities and helping other sentient beings by using the privilege that one has, if instead these factors become further conditions for greater pride, arrogance, haughtiness, and so on, then truly what are thought to be favorable conditions, which are supposed to be beneficial, becomes destructive. And this is what the great Kadamba masters mean when they say turning gods into demons.
Ah, yeah.
其实呢，那西边嘞，大队先来没吧？他跨过个挡到说，你去浙江那边人种，再到大队先点吧，天天碰就是噻，浙江大队马上他，大家在这民族为，其实他们抓查，呃，基本上呢，马桶呢，大队在往你路上里边嘞，呃，就让我，呃，但你是想，这需要什么的呢？那的呢，浙江那样子。
阿贝七，阿贝，七八弄的马桶的大多在往里头就是送那些钱的呗，对七八桶的呗，这个那么就点点说，你咋的嘛是送过来的？天哪，大概五千的，地震有的民族啊，他们把什么在搞查？不然没到政治性，这就传统，让人呢，个人关系马桶性，你不要把那个查死。但好像你不解释，哎，你七八岁岁就提研究个向往都蛮多结果，哎，晓得。
대지다가서를 로드맵 받아 지금 답이 저 접어내 받을 때 여러분 얘나 대 휴딩